discovering stories of courage, determination, and hope. Welcome to Faith Radio's On the Road. Now, here's Ryan Thomas.
Life is short, I want to live it well. One life, one story to tell. Life is short, I want to live it well. And you're the one I'm living for.
Well, recent headlines tell us an elusive peace with North Korea is becoming more and more possible. A fairly stunning prospect after decades of hatred and enmity. But the negotiating powers have remained mostly mute about the tens of thousands of people suffering inside the North. Estimates say over 70,000 Christians are in North Korean political prison camps for their faith. And while the ballistic missile test might have ended, reality for these men and women has not changed. Mr. Vernon Brewer was at the DMZ last year, which Kim Jong-un crossed for the first time in the last month, and he met and interviewed several defectors who fled North Korea. After his trip, World Help, the international Christian humanitarian organization that he founded and leads, launched a campaign to send Bibles to North Korean Christians. They have raised money to send over 70,000 Korean Bibles and are still raising more. Welcome to the show, good sir. What an honor to talk with you here today.
Thank you, Ryan. It's good to be with you today.
Well, this global organization that you lead, World Help, is a remarkable effort. I was reading the list of countries where you are actively blessing people, and it is jaw-droppingly large, sir. Could you just introduce us to the big picture view of who you guys are off the bat?
Sure. World Help is a faith-based humanitarian aid organization. We provide help for today by helping refugees and orphans and AIDS victims around the world, food, clothing, medicine, clean water. And we also provide hope for tomorrow and Bibles and church planting efforts in countries that are persecuted like China. We just trained 200 Chinese house church planters. And in Cuba, where 1,600 house churches have been planted in the last 2 years.
Amazing.
So we provide both help and hope. So that's who we are and what we do.
Wow, that is incredible, sir. You know, we've all lived with news items about threats from North Korea against the South and against the U.S. for so long. It's pretty startling to consider the potential for that to change, but those are exactly stories that we're reading now. You know, summits reportedly on the horizon, promises of nuclear disarmament from North Korea's Kim Jong-un. But Vernon, there's a factor here we aren't hearing much about at all, which is the plight of Christians in North Korea. Could you give us a sense of what it is to be a follower of Jesus in North Korea today?
Sure. I was, as you mentioned, I was at the DMZ just a few months ago on the exact spot where the two leaders of South Korea and North Korea shook hands and greeted one another. And I can tell you that's it's a very tense place. I've also been inside of North Korea. Americans aren't allowed in right now, but several years ago I was in. And Ryan, as we drove across the Tumen River, our guide told us that North Koreans come to the riverbank and wait until evening to attempt the risky swim across the river to mainland China. And the North Korean border guards have orders to shoot on sight. And anyone attempting to cross the border illegally is risking execution. And then almost as an afterthought, our guide added that the Tumen River has probably witnessed more deaths than any other river in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And I would have to say that nowhere is persecution of Christians more severe than in North Korea. It's atop the list of the most dangerous countries in the world to be a Christian for 16 years in a row.
Wow.
And it's estimated by the government that there are at least 300,000 Christians. No one knows for sure, Ryan, because many of these Christians in North Korea are very secretive and don't even tell their own family members that they're believers.
Sure.
Because they don't want their family members exposed. And of that, 70,000, as you mentioned, Christians are in the North Korean prison camps. They a believer can be sentenced up to 15 years in a labor camp for just owning a Bible or being caught singing a hymn or praying or attending a house church service. And it's estimated that nearly 25% of all the believers in North Korea are currently suffering in prison camps. And we know what happened to Otto Warmbier, the American college student that was tortured and finally released and died just a few days later. And that's the kind of torture that Christians are experiencing. They estimate that most Christians die within the first 3 years of being in a labor camp. So in reality, if they're sentenced to 15 years, it's a death sentence.
Can you give us a sense of why the regime is so threatened by Christians to this degree? Is it simply having a higher authority than the state, or is it specific to followers of Jesus?
I think it's specific both, but primarily to followers of Jesus. It's all about control. The regime must control. There are rumblings within the regime that Kim Jong-un is not being an effective leader. They have tremendous economic problems. People are starving to death in the country. There's a lack of food. The government has to ration food. And what they don't want are Christians to seize control. So they keep them oppressed and persecuted. They don't want the church to grow. They don't want believers to threaten their regime. And, you know, so many of the Christians who go into these labor camps never come out. They're starved. They're beaten with rods. They're tortured, both physically and psychologically. They're forced to work up to 12 hours a day in hard labor. It's horrific. Christian Solidarity Worldwide discovered recently that even many of these believers in labor camps are being used in dangerous drug trials. They're treated as human lab rats, and young boys are mutilated and dismembered, and girls are systematically raped. And I don't think most Americans realize the degree of torture and persecution that their brothers and sisters in Christ in North Korea are enduring.
Well, it's incredible. It's hard to hear, but thank you so much for that insight. We're here with Mr. Vernon Brewer, the founder and CEO of World Help, an international Christian humanitarian organization. They're working all across the globe, serving the physical and spiritual needs of impoverished communities around the world. So help us think through this, the headlines that we've seen then, in terms of thinking about these Christians and just praying that their situation will improve. Does the prospect of peace with the South and with the U.S., does that bode well for them, or is it complicating the issue in ways we might not even think about?
It is a complicated issue, but I will say that the vast majority of Christians in South Korea, they want to see reunification. You know, I think we need to use a little caution with these peace talks that are coming up, because there have been two previous peace talks in the last 10 years that have not produced peace. So I think we need to be a little cautious in our expectations. But I attended a prayer meeting of South Koreans, about 200 of them, a few months ago, and it was one of the most intense prayer meetings I've ever been in my life. They were literally crying out, yelling and crying and begging God for peace and reunification, because many of them have family members in North Korea that they haven't seen in years. And so I would say the majority of Christians in South Korea would welcome reunification. And that's their number one prayer request, because they know if that happens, there are so many Christians in South Korea that perhaps the ability to be able to share the gospel with their family members in the North would be possible.
Well, and we want to talk about this amazing effort to deliver Bibles that you guys are involved with. Just widening it out a little bit further, I mean, you've mentioned in reference conversations with persecuted believers and defectors that these have been some of the drivers for your passion for these people. What did you discover that touched your heart to such a degree?
Well, these defectors that I've met with personally and interviewed, and are even some of my dearest friends in the world, have paid such a great price. Some of them don't have contact with anyone inside of North Korea once they finally escape. This is mainly just to protect their families. If a defector gets caught, or the regime hears that they're helping smuggle in Bibles, it's probably that the family is going to face severe consequences. And one defector I met said that that just because she fled her family is now being harassed and is getting the kind of persecution, like a failure to be promoted in her job, or the government is constantly watching her. And so we've been involved in an active Bible distribution campaign. As you mentioned, over 70,000 North Korean Bibles have been are in the process of being distributed right now. They had asked me for 100,000, and I told them that I would do that as quickly as we can. The North Koreans and South Koreans have been separated for so long that the language has changed slightly.
And really?
So, a South Korean Bible, many of the vocabulary words are not the same, so they need their own North Korean translation,
wow,
which we have and which we're distributing. And, you know, I really can't tell how we're distributing the Bibles or where they're coming from, but they do come in from the outside. They're smuggled in small quantities daily. They change the methods of smuggling wow, on a regular basis so that the government would not be aware of how they're doing it. And my good friend and minister partner who's doing this distribution, his name is Charlie, which is not his real name.
Of course, sure.
But what he was recently arrested and got caught distributing Bibles in North Korea, and he was sentenced to one of these labor camps. And what he endured in prison brought him to the edge of despair, and the treatment he received was so harsh, the pain he experienced was severe, so much so that he actually contemplated committing suicide, if you can imagine.
Wow.
And he was released after being in prison for 240 days. He was charged with espionage. He endured daily interrogations, frequent and mostly severe beatings. He suffered intense physical and psychological torture. And when he was released, on his document, his actual crime was, quote, being a committed follower of Jesus Christ.
Wow.
And wow, the determination of the North Korean officials, Ryan, to break Charlie's spirit and get him to deny his faith was intense. And even a personal visit and plea by former President Jimmy Carter to gain his release was unsuccessful. And finally, after 8 months of torture, Charlie was released, but he suffered a nervous breakdown, and his health is still fragile, and he can never go back in and distribute Bibles. So he's now in a nearby country coordinating the effort of our Bible distribution,
wow,
teams. And when you realize, Ryan, that these men and women are paying the ultimate price, even putting their lives on the line just to distribute Bibles, you realize how important that is. One man received a Bible recently, and he felt guilty for having a copy, so he just tore out one page in the book of Matthew and gave the Bible to someone else, and he committed that page, both sides, to memory. Mm. That's how important a Bible is. You know, in our culture here in America, it's probably difficult for us to realize the importance when most of us as Christians have several copies laying around the house. In North Korea, the majority of Christians have never even held a Bible, let alone owned one.
Wow. Taking us inside a different world to the one that we know today. Mr. Vernon Brewer, the founder and CEO of World Help, an international Christian humanitarian organization working across the globe, serving the physical and spiritual needs of impoverished communities around the world. We're talking about just an amazing ministry, getting Bibles into one of the most closed countries in the world, North Korea today. You, for completely understandable reasons, can't really talk about the specifics of how these are getting into the country and how the smuggling works. But I do wonder, why take this tack? Why was this the strategy to get inside North Korea that you guys decided to take?
Well, first of all, Ryan, we follow the lead of our partners on the ground. We don't tell them how to run their ministry or their organization. We come alongside of them and form strategic partnerships. And this is what they've asked for. Originally, I'd made a commitment to distribute 50,000 Bibles. And they said to me, is that as big as your faith is? They said, we need 100,000 copies immediately. Can't you commit to 100,000? And frankly, I was a little bit taken back and aback and felt a little bit guilty that my faith was so small.
Sure.
So we still have 30,000 Bibles to go to fulfill our commitment. And that is one way that your listeners can do something. You know, we hear these horror stories and we hear about the persecution and we say, I wish there was something that we can do. And there is. You know, for as little as $10, we can provide a copy of God's Word to a North Korean Christian who's willing to risk their lives to own a copy of God's Word. And, you know, you can go on our website at worldhelp.net and do something today that will make an eternal difference in that country. And who knows, it may even be what God uses to bring peace to North Korea.
Hmm. I love that. worldhelp.net. That's right, sir?
Yes, sir.
All right, definitely. We'll mention that again and again because this is just such a powerful opportunity. I imagine it has to be, you tell the story about being taken aback by the faith of the folks who are confronting this situation head on, but talk a little bit about the resilience. I mean, because you've had many conversations with many different individuals. Is that a theme that continues? Are you continually taken back by the resilience of these Jesus followers, even in these pretty incredible circumstances?
Yeah, you know, Ryan, if what they live, they call Christianity, we're going to have to stop calling what we live Christianity in America, because what they live is real. It is life-threatening. When Jesus says, you know, count the cost, these men and women have counted the cost. I met one 17-year-old boy who escaped to China so he could find food and make money and send it back into his family in North Korea. And while he was there, he became a Christian in a Chinese house church, and he felt like he needed to share his faith with his family in North Korea. But unfortunately, eventually he was caught bringing two Bibles into the country in his backpack, and government officials beat him and tortured him. And every time they hit him, he told them that Jesus loved them. And one of the guards asked him why Jesus was worth dying for, and the boy was able to share the gospel with him. And the guard even ended up becoming a Christian because of the faith of that 17-year-old boy.
Oh, my goodness. Wow. You mentioned that there's not a lot of Americans that have been inside North Korea. First of all, is that a fair statement to make?
Yes, very few. Several years ago, we were allowed to come in. They viewed us as businessmen to help their country, and we want to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. And
sure.
We invested in a restaurant that is used to serve food by day, and when it closes at night, it's used to disciple Christians in the back room at night. So everything that's done has to be done secretly, but that's how we gain permission to go into the country.
I just wonder, stepping foot inside North Korea, I mean, I was struck by what you said about the language, that a country could be so closed off, you know, to the world that it would literally sort of redevelop its own language and vocabulary. Was it what you expected inside North Korea? Was it different than your expectation?
It was dark. It was depressing. There was no heat in the hotel. There was only one television in the hotel. It was in the lobby. It was a black and white television with rabbit ears. And there was only one channel. It was the government channel that blared a propaganda 24 hours a day. And North Korean people were not allowed to make eye contact with foreigners. So it was very difficult to carry on any meaningful conversations. We were allowed to visit a public school, and in the public schools, the students are indoctrinated that Americans hate North Koreans and that we capture children and eat them. Can you imagine that?
Oh, my goodness.
And so they felt like the students would not be responsive to us. And I went into the classroom, and they let me speak to the students, and I had them laughing and high-fiving. And it was a pleasant surprise to see that the young people were so open to us as Americans.
Wow. Well, we just have a few minutes left, and so we want to circle back around. In terms of, I wonder two things. If you could definitely share with us again, in terms of the Bibles, where we can go on the web, how we can support you financially, and then also just in terms of prayer. I mean, there's so much here, right? So many needs. Where can we start to pray for our North Korean brothers and sisters?
Well, just think, Ryan, if every one of your listeners just gave $10 for one Bible, we could literally save lives and change lives and see hundreds of North Koreans come to faith in Christ. So that's pretty incredible alone. And we need to pray for peace. I'm optimistic of the upcoming peace talks. I'm praying that God can use that to for his will to be done in the lives of these persecuted men and women. So we need to pray for peace. We need to pray that God would raise up Christ followers, and in view of their devastating circumstances that they face every day, we need to pray that God would give them hope. Many of them are losing hope. Many are sick and hungry and traumatized. And I think this is an important time in history. And the world is looking to you and me and Christians to see if we'll respond with compassion or fear. And my plea is that we won't let fear paralyze us, but that we will rise up and be the hands and feet of Jesus. And just pray that this will be a time of peace. You know, we may never have another opportunity like this to reach North Korea with the gospel. So I believe that God is orchestrating all this, and I just pray that God's will be done.
Amen. Wow. Well, what a powerful conversation. Really just a privilege to be able to talk with Mr. Vernon Brewer today, the founder and CEO of World Help, an international Christian humanitarian organization working all across the globe, is serving the physical and spiritual needs of impoverished communities around the world. And sir, first of all, just thank you once again for being here. Thank you for sharing so much insight with us and bringing us into a window of understanding I don't know we would have had otherwise. And then one more opportunity, share that website once again, please.
Worldhelp.net. And for every $10 that you donate, we'll be able to print and distribute a North Korean Bible and put it in the hands of someone that's desperately needing God's word.
Thank you so much, sir. What a privilege to have you here.
Thank you, Ryan. God bless.
Thanks for sharing in the story of this latest episode of Faith Radio's On the Road. For more on today's conversation and the full podcast archive of all our episodes, look for On the Road when you visit myfaithradio.com.